Okay, who has ever begun reading a story and got halfway through and wanted to know what happens in the end? I have. Maybe it was this one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and you got halfway through and you loved it, but you wanted to know what happened in the end, and you went right to the back and read the last page. Did you do that? If the professor was right, it was only the beginning of the adventures of Narnia. Well, maybe you've done that with other books. Here we are at the end of the Bible, and God says what is going to happen in the end. God gave a man called John an amazing vision, a dream of what happens at the end of human history. In chapter 1, verse 19, he told John, "Write down what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later." We spent a term looking at the first 13 chapters of the book. Do you remember about the scroll that couldn't be opened? Do you remember that? Had seven seals on it that couldn't be opened. But then someone was found who could open the seals. And then there was a trumpet blast, really loud trumpet blast, every time a seal was opened. And more amazing things happened with each one. Some wonderful, some frightening. And now we're at chapter 14, right where we left off. Chapter 13 had a woman with a dragon and two beasts in it. We left off in chapter 13. One beast came out of the sea, one came from the land, and both of them ganged up against God and all his people. Well, we're going to read chapter 14, just the first five verses in a moment. Please, mums and dads, help your youngsters see the words on the page. And I want you to listen out for three things. There is a lamb. He's mentioned several times. There is a great crowd of people. I want you to tell me how big the crowd is. And there is a sound. What's the sound in the reading? So a lamb, a crowd, and a sound. Are you listening? And could you come and read the first five verses of Revelation chapter 14 for us, please?
Hi, good morning. So, Revelation chapter 14, it's on page 1243 of the Orange Bibles. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remained virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless.
Well, let's give those words some thought now. Did you hear there was a lamb mentioned? Did you hear? How many times? Anybody count? Did you see there was a crowd? How big was the crowd? Anyone know? How big was the crowd? 144,000. Well done, Dars. And there was a sound. What was the sound of? Who heard the sound? Ezra. Rushing water, more to it. What else was in the sound? Jasmine? Thunder, sounded like thunder. What else? Harps. Did anyone see that? We might play a harp in a minute. All right. Who has got a team strip with them today? A t-shirt? Or I've got one. There it is. It was lent to me last night. So the person who lent it me said it is the best team. Was he right? Okay, what other teams have we got? What have we got there? So the black one, what team is it? Man City. I thought they were blue. What's that one? Is that blue as well? And this one, what have we got here? Hold it up so they can see everybody. Anybody know what that is? Scotland, who did very well yesterday. That looks like... Okay. Cambridge United. Lovely. Anyone else? Cambridge Tri Club. Thank you, Katrina. Big round of applause. Okay, you've got your team shirts. We've got lots of team shirts. In fact, there's some football teams. There's a whole load more. And there's one down the bottom left. Did you see the bottom left one? That's our team, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we've got cycling teams. I actually don't know what all those teams are, but I know Maxwell does. Maxwell, cycling teams, lots of teams. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, is full of fantastic pictures and numbers and scrolls and angels and trumpets. You could get confused, but I want you to remember this. The whole book of Revelation is saying that there are two teams in the world, just two. Two that matter. There are those on Jesus' team, and there is everyone else. We're told that if you aren't on Jesus' team, you are on Satan or the devil's team. Did you know that? And this book is asking, whose team are you on? Which captain are you with? Are you with Jesus or are you with Satan? I'm going to describe three things now. They have one thing in common, and if you can see what it is, perhaps even felt what it's like, you'll have an idea what it's like to be on Jesus' team. Okay, first description. Imagine going to the seaside and standing up to your knees in the sea. And the waves come in. I think this guy's only up to his ankles, so they're very small waves. But if you get a little bit deeper, maybe up to your knees or maybe up to your thighs, the waves are trying to push you one way and another. Have you felt that? Have you felt that? What it's like to be pushed around with the waves and to stand firm and not go with the flow? That's the first one. Second idea is this. A crowd all going in one direction and you wanting to go in a different direction. One person going against the crowd. Maybe you've been going to watch a match or a concert, and everybody's going in one direction, but there's one or two people going the other way, and they find it really hard to go the other way against the crowd. And the last picture is of a fish in a river. Rivers all flow downstream. The water flows downhill towards the sea. And to go upstream is hard. And fishes have to really kick their bodies to go upstream. If you were swimming in a river, much easier to float and go with the flow than to turn and go upstream against the flow. If you're on Jesus' team, that is what it's like. You will be going against the flow. Did you see that? Did you see that's what they have in common? Waves trying to push you over but standing up. Crowd going one way but you going against the flow. Stream flowing downwards but the fish swimming against the flow. Hold that idea in your head. Now look at verse 1. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And maybe you think, what's so special about a lamb and what's so special about a mountain? Well, it's not just any lamb. This is Jesus. And it's not just any hill. This is Zion, which is the city where God's people will be with him forever. John is seeing a vision of all God's people gathered with Jesus in the end. And who is with Jesus in the end? Did you see? Have a look down. Mums and dads, help your youngsters. Who is with Jesus in the end? Hands up when you know. Henry, do you know? Nick, you'll have to say I couldn't hear that. That's true about Jesus, but that wasn't my question. Who is with Jesus? Kez. ,144,000 people. Well done. That is Jesus' team. The team jersey that they're wearing actually isn't a jersey. Do you see how they are marked out as belonging to Jesus? It's a symbol, but they haven't got the mark of the beast on their foreheads. They've got Jesus' name and God's name on their foreheads. That means they belong to Jesus. They're his. They're his team. Who knows their 12 times table? Hands up. Paul Townsend knows his 12 times table. Very glad. Okay, here's some questions for you. How many tribes of Israel were there? 12. How many apostles or disciples of Jesus did he have? 12. Who can do 12 times 12? Ezra. Okay, and what's a very big number? 1,000. 144 times a very big number is 144,000. It's a symbol for all of God's people gathered together with him, standing next to Jesus. And that's where history is heading for Jesus' team. This is a window on the future. But there is a sound that goes with this vision. Did you see what the sound is? Let's try it. I'm going to start with this one. Are we ready? That was a river, a rushing water. And then we're going to try this one. Oh. That's one harp. Can you imagine what it would be like if there were thousands of harps? And then let's try something else, because they're all singing. It's an amazing chorus of people. Okay, my other assistant. There we go. And what are they singing? Okay, that's great. Down we go. We want to sing that, then we want to carry on. But can you imagine thousands and thousands of people singing a fantastic song in praise of the Lord Jesus? I heard there were some young people in a big stadium this week singing with thousands of other young people. Has anybody heard about this? Young Voices at the O2 Stadium. Some of the kids from Great Shelford Primary School were there. Ezra was there himself. Was anyone else? Has anyone else been? You were there. You've been three times. Okay, I'm guessing, but I bet it felt fantastic when you were listening to thousands of voices all singing the same tune. Was it good? It was good. Well, this is way, way bigger and way, way louder and way more exciting and fantastic. What do our verses say about this song? Can you see? Let's just look again. I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. And the sound I heard was that like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and for the four living creatures and the elders. Listen to what it says. It says, no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. This is a song that only Jesus' team can sing. No one else can learn it. In fact, when other people see Jesus' team, people on their team, his team living differently, singing the song they don't know, they wonder what's going on. Why are they living differently? Why are they speaking differently? Maybe they're thinking, I'd like to know what it means to sing that song, but they don't know because they haven't been redeemed. People who aren't on Jesus' team can't learn the words, they don't understand. But later on, if they come to faith in Jesus Christ, then they can join in that song and they can make sense of everything. Let me tell you about Ben. Ben is in school. He's in a class just like everyone else. Sometimes he forgets his PE kit. He's doing his best. He's finding it slow to make good friends, just like everyone else. But there is something different about Ben. Remember that stream that I talked about, everything going one way? Well, Ben is someone who goes against the stream. He is a Christian. Sometimes people say mean things to one another. Sometimes there's teasing or being unkind in class or in the playground, and most people just join in. They go with the flow, but Ben chooses not to because he is on Jesus' team. He sticks up for the person that everyone else is being mean to. He doesn't say mean things about anyone ever, and that makes him stand out. It's as though Ben knows the tune to a song that nobody else knows. Let me tell you about Freya. Freya is at work. Many people laugh at her for being different. She talks about Jesus and about church and about the hope she has of heaven. This is Freya. She has confidence in the face of bad news or physical illness that people can't understand. They can't seem to learn the song that she's singing. But it's so attractive. But then one of two of her colleagues, struck by Freya's kindness, ask her about what she believes, and she tells them. They meet together for several weeks over coffee, reading John's gospel. And after some time, those two friends also put their trust in Jesus. And then the song makes sense to them. They can see why she did what she did, why she said what she said. And they start to say the same things too. They are joining in heaven's song. They've come to love Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away sin. They share in her hope of heaven, and their voices join in the song at the office that points to Jesus. Ben and Freya and those two friends, they are people on Jesus' team who go against the flow. Look down at verse 4. There's something a bit strange. There's 144,000 did not defile themselves, it says. That means they didn't make themselves unclean. That means, like Ben and Freya, they didn't go against, along with the crowd. They didn't join in. They went against the flow. How come? How do they manage to follow Jesus? Look at verse 4. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That's a picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus against the flow. He says we shouldn't lie. So they never tell fibs. They don't tell lies. They don't tell their parents they brushed their teeth when they haven't, for instance. And when they're weak, they admit they're weak. They often fail and they ask Jesus for help. They don't try and do it all on their own. If you've been brought onto Jesus' team, then your life won't look like it used to. You'll have his help to go against the flow and not with it. Waves will crash around you, but they won't knock you off your feet. A crowd will be going in the other direction, but you'll be able to go against the flow. A stream will be dragging you downwards, but you will, in God's strength, be able to swim upstream. You will be singing the new song that only the redeemed can sing. You'll be living a life now to please Jesus all the way to heaven. Can you see through this little window of five verses what it means to be on Jesus' team? Just before I finish, I'd like to try a little experiment. Anybody who'd like a feel of going against the flow, trying to push through a crowd who are trying to stop them or slow them down, would they like to come to the front? Would anyone like to try this? What I'm going to ask you to do is walk with me up the middle here, and people on the sides are going to put their hands out and try and drag you back. It's just a little practice. Anybody want to have a go? Richard wants to try it. Oh, no. I need some people to come with me against the flow. You've got to come up the front first. Come up the front first. And we're going to go against the flow. Come next to me. Dorothy, you've got to try and stop us getting past you. All right. Okay. Can I just say, Jesus always wins in this battle. So we've got to be able to get through. But we're going to practice. We're going against the flow. Are you ready? Let's try. Try and hold me back. Not that hard. Come on, we can do it. Even the smallest person managed to get through against the tide. If you're on Jesus's team, you will be able to go against the flow, to go with his team the way Jesus wants. If you are already on Jesus's team, will you take heart and keep going? You have heaven ahead. Will you stand up strong and go against the flow because you know this song? Don't be surprised it's hard. Lots of other people will be going the other way and trying to pull you back. If you are not yet on Jesus's team, you don't know the song, well then ask a friend. Ask them for help. Get to know Jesus by reading his words. Read all about him. Pray, asking him to show you and then to buy you for his team. That's what purchased means. Jesus is willing to bring you onto his team and pay whatever it costs. Will you recognize that there's nothing more important, because there are only two teams in this world. There are those who are on Jesus's team and there is everyone else. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were all God's people, chosen, redeemed, purchased for him, and they were singing a new song. Well, let's sing our song. It starts with us being before the throne of God. That's going to be our last song, like in the reading, and it goes on not with his name written on our foreheads, which was in the reading, but with our names written on Jesus's hands, in the marks where the nails went through because he was crucified. That's what we're meant to be thinking of. Our names, Jesus's team names, are written on his hands. He died and gave his life that we could be on his team. Are you on it? Are you on Jesus's team? Will you follow him against the flow of the world this week? Let's show that by the things we say. Are we kind? And the things we do, are we obedient to Jesus?
Thank you, Tim, so much for all those wonderful illustrations. This is more a thought than a question, but I was thinking about the 144,000, and the one thing that struck me, not one of them is missing. And when we're going against the crowd, we're going to feel really scared that we're going to mess up and we're not going to make it. But at least what I read here is that God has every one of us numbered, and we're all going to be there standing with him on Mount Zion.
Thank you. That's really good when I feel I'm on my own and about to give up. Brilliant. One over there. Aidan.
If we take the criteria for being part of the 144,000 people, literally, it would be incredibly strict. Should we say that they are all symbolic?
If you look closely in this passage, they have been purchased and they have been redeemed. That is the criteria for being in, and therefore they will not live in a way that is against God, certainly when it comes to sexuality. So the criteria is, has God bought you and has he rescued you? It's all from him. And if that is who you are, you will want to live in a way that doesn't defile yourself in any way, shape, or form. Good observation. Abby, one. Was it you, Abby? Thank you.
The 144,000 all could hear the song. I suppose sometimes in daily life it might feel like with your actions and the way you act, it won't represent you listening to the song and hearing the song and singing it. So how can you be sure that even when you sometimes don't sing the song or can hear the song, that you are still able to listen to the song?
Thank you, Abby. That's a good observation using metaphor. Sometimes, if I've understood you right, sometimes it feels like you're really on your own and your actions are not seen by anyone else and nobody's there to help. God sees everything and everyone, and nothing is missed. And there'll be a day when you'll be gathered with everybody else and everything you've ever done in pleasing his name will be remembered beautifully. Nothing doesn't matter. But then you're thinking, probably, I think you heard, sometimes I forget and I live against his rules and I'm not singing the song I should be. And that is true of every Christian. And what we're meant to do with that is go straight back to Jesus and say, I am sorry, Lord. You've purchased me. Help me again to sing. Don't dwell in having got it wrong, but let him lift you up and sing again. Thank you. Andy?
I'm just really encouraged by the pictures, because often if I link the pictures with the words, it's helpful, and just the swimming against the tide, and the pictures, there are a couple of pictures that came to mind. Was one, if you haven't seen the opening credits of The Chosen, that's a really good picture of turning to Jesus and following him. I'm not advertising
it's
The Chosen.
It's cartoons of fish. I mean,
it is, and turning around and following. And another wonderful picture, Stu, if you don't mind me mentioning yours, you may be in a different context in the book, but that we are like little babies and we're being held by our Father. And in his strength, we are swimming against the tide. And we're asked to splash as hard as we can. But God's got us if we trust in him. And it's in his strength that we can swim against the tide. So I probably misquoted your image a little bit there, Stu. But it stuck in my
It worked for me. I can remember Toby being very small, holding onto my shoulders, trying to swim. And I felt like I was being sunk by him. But actually, we were going in the same direction. Yeah, no, that helps. Anyone else? Yes, please. Thank you. Laura's friend. Tell us who you are.
My name is Nathan. I'm a visitor.
But Nathan, welcome.
In verse 5, it says, no lie was found in their mouths. Not lone lie was in their mouths. Because I think what Jesus does for us is he takes away our sin so that we appear blameless before the Father.
That's great. Who here has never told a lie? Oh, look, all your hands are staying down. Isn't it amazing that Jesus' death pays for every lie we've ever told? And therefore, there will be no lie found in our mouths. Thank you, Nathan. Really helpful.